Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Marlon Wayans, Kadeem Hardison, Joey Devine, Octavia Spencer, David Tamer, Flex Alexander, John Keane, Lauro Chartron, Dick Vitale, Patreons Aaron Frome, thank you Eric, Dustin Spencer, thank you Dustin, Chi Chi, muchas gracias Chi Chi, Chris Molnar! Thank you, Chris! Musical guest, Dougie Fresh! And now the temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, and we are back with another jam-packed episode. I'm here, as always. He sounds a little worse today because we are having some computer problems and he is on a phone. But you know what? Even when he's sounding his worst, that is 100% better than any other full-time co-host you can get. It's America's Uncle Dad. You might have seen him at the Punchline San Francisco this week. Comedian, writer, raconteur, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I want to say thank you to all of the round ball what the fuckers who came out to the Sacramento Punchline last weekend.
Mm-hmm. And this week, you're at the San Francisco Punchline until Saturday, right?
Till Saturday. And two I'm shows announce on Saturday. This. Just lined up today. I will be headlining the Punchline in San Francisco on Wednesday, September 29th. Probably when the same day Adam Silver rushes the beginning of the NBA season to try to injure as many players as possible. But if you're interested, you know, I'll make a Facebook event. Just do me a favor, mark coming. Make it sound really exciting. Hype it up as much as you can because, you know, it'll be good. It should be really fun. Hopefully, I can book some fun people, and I've already reached out to a couple. So, Sean, that should be fun.
I think I'm in the Bay Area September 29th.
Oh, shit.
And I don't do stand-up comedy anymore, but...
Yeah. Would you
I do read Frankie Muniz tweets with my friend Sean, if you would like
that. We could also do that, because there's a whole new batch. Somehow, parts of his life got sadder since the last time we've read Frankie Muniz's tweets on stage.
Live on stage.
Yeah. But seriously, also, if you do come to a show, definitely say hi. Yeah. Somebody said hi. Somebody else just was very silently supportive, and that was great. But also,
say hi.
I'm down to meet everybody. Yeah. Also, I'm very unintimidating in person.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking of meeting you, for those of you not in California, you still have a chance to meet Sean and I. That's right. We're doing another informal meetup. That's right. I want to make it clear how informal this is. August 10th at Summer League at 10:30 p.m. at the Billionaire Buyer Slot Machines in the Golden Nugget, because we're going to be there. Come, put $20 into the Tillman Fertitta slot machine and take that motherfucker for every dollar he's worth.
Every goddamn dollar.
Speaking of dollars, this motherfucker, Tillman Fertitta, thinks he's so famous, it's a dollar a pull slot machine. So a max bet is like $5 or $10. It's crazy. But anyway, we're going to win. We won a little bit last year, but then we made the mistake of getting drinks at the Golden Nugget Casino. I bought everyone who was there around with the winnings and then just gave the money back to Tillman Fertitta. That was stupid, Sean. We'll go to a different casino for the drinks after we win, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're like that scumbag. you don't get our drink money at the Nugget. We'll be going to the Queen of Hearts, maybe.
No, the Four Queens. Yeah.
The Four Queens. We like the Four Queens.
We like the Four Queens. We like Binions. We like Binions.
Binions.
The Fremont's a little sad.
Well, I will say this. If I hit it big on that slot machine, I'm going to use it to do that weird thing where you glide over Fremont Street. I've forgotten what it's called. It has a weird name.
It's called Slotzilla, Sean.
Slotzilla.
Anyway, also, so while we're doing business, I might as well do this. roundrockpod@gmail.com. Uh-huh. At roundrockpod on Twitter.
That's right.
Patreon.com/roundrockpod. Where we're doing a new thing, Sean. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess it's not that new. It's a couple months old now. But we're instead of giving you one big episode a week, we're giving you lots of little tiny episodes a week. Mm-hmm. It's the silliest stuff we can think of. 5 or 10 minutes where you can just do your dishes and laugh at Corbin's...
That's right. He's recently...
Because he was on today.
He was.
Sean, I invented a game show
mm-hmm.
called Fake or Not Fake, an NBA draft prospect game show.
You're opening virtual suitcases with draft profiles.
Mm-hmm. Where what I did was I took two real NBA draft prospects and one from an NBA 2K21 draft class.
Uh-huh.
And I made Corbin Smith try and decide who was real and who was fake. I'm hitting randomly in this 10-minute podcast.
Hell yeah.
Let's see where it comes up. Very smooth catch-and-shoot threat. Moves his feet and contests pull-ups. And a terrific transition finisher. His weakness... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No. You say what you were going to say.
No. I want to hear all the stuff before I ask additional questions. Sure.
His weaknesses include doesn't have quickness, not very effective with his left hand, and not a good finisher through contact.
Might as well, those weaknesses all apply to my sex life.
Any questions about Joshua Primo?
Is this a white fella?
No, all three of these fellas are of African-American descent. Okay. All right, that was Corbin trying to figure out who was a real NBA draft prospect.
Uh-huh.
By the way, spoiler alert, Joshua Primo is a real NBA draft prospect.
And he's not a white fella. Are we sure that was the real Corbin? Because I didn't hear any construction noises.
Yeah, I know.
Explosions going off, like rakes being stepped on.
Well, he was in
on.
His happy place with his chilly foot baths, so.
Oh, okay, yeah. He had a heavy blanket on his body and a heavy blanket of chili on his feet.
Just playing, barely paying attention, thinking about Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Plan a Switch game. It's a very entertaining Patreon, I gotta say.
And spoiler alert, it's going up today, but we learned some troubling things about Robin Lopez on the last NBA Finals Game 4. Mm-hmm. And we got a hold of some voicemails to his brother. So that'll be up today.
I mean, I gotta say shout out to Kenny Klippenstein telling me about how to do FOIA requests, and somehow I got these Robin Lopez voicemails.
Yeah.
So thanks to the god, the FOIA god. Mm-hmm.
Ken Klippenstein.
Kenny K, our buddy.
All right. We've got some mail, Sean. We talked about kind of nothing for 9 minutes and 42 seconds.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. we're burning daylight.
But luckily, we got a really good phone call, Sean.
Okay. I love it.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342, please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
Forget how fast the robot says the phone number.
It's very funny. Well, it's in the Twitter now, so I think that's
it's also always been in the Twitter, first off, but the number is 323-682-0342. Please give us a call. We love hearing from our listeners.
Yeah, it's
but
great.
What I want you to do is don't do what this guy did. This guy, we have a call from this guy. It's an amazing call.
It's but really good.
He made a rookie mistake. He did not say his name. So I cannot tell you who called, or they. They did not say their name. I don't want to assume gender. But make sure to say your name, because we like knowing who's calling us, and who especially when they're so good. Anyway, here's an
really
amazing voicemail, Sean.
Hey, guys. I'm sitting here watching this playoff game, and something's been bothering me this whole season about this Chris Paul State Farm commercial with the Sabrina Ionescu WNBA player. I don't know, but they hand him Jake from State Farm hands them the scripts, and Chris reads it and he says, Jake, you know, Chris reads so and so, and then his body turns into a basketball. But When he says that, he doesn't turn into a basketball. Chris Paul was holding a basketball, and he disappears, and the basketball he was holding starts bouncing. If he had turned into a basketball, there'd be two basketballs bouncing. I just feel like this whole thing is so disjointed this season, and not to mention that this Jake from State Farm guy is like some cooler looking guy than the original Jake from State Farm, which is like a schlubby white guy. It's like, starting to feel like I had a stroke. Anyway, hope you guys can make sense of this. Take care.
First off, Sean, you, I would say, are the historian of the Chris Paul State Farm ads. You've been keeping up with this since the introduction of Cliff Paul.
Mm-hmm. So Cliff Paul comes in and what?
Well, we can't get into the history of Cliff Paul, but keep going.
Well, let me just give you a quick I'm just going to go through the stages of the State Farm evolution, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
First of all, Jake from State Farm was not involved in the Paul universe for a while.
Yeah.
He was a schlubby white guy. He was on one call.
Not involving Chris Paul.
No, not at all.
Completely different commercial.
What we initially had was a horrifying backstory about two twins who were separated at birth for some reason, raised separately despite being identical twins.
Yeah.
And he loved to assist that we learned about some short-lived other twins. John Stockton had a twin. Steph Curry had a twin. We didn't explore those a lot. And then when
Sebastian Curry, because they couldn't name him Seth Curry because that was a real person named Seth Curry. Yeah.
His parents actually were adhering to, again, much like Steph Curry changed the NBA, the Curry family also revolutionized State Farm brother naming conventions.
But also, even that was shitty. They should have just called him Steve Curry. That would have been even funnier. What were they doing?
Didn't they have Don Stockton?
Yeah, it was Don Stockton. And then I want to say there was a WNBA player. It might have been Maya Moore had one, but I can't remember Maya Moore's name. Maya Moore's twin. Doesn't matter. Keep going.
look, all respect to Maya Moore. She had to drop out of State Farm commercials to exonerate wrongfully convicted people. Yeah. And I think that was a good choice.
Which, you know what? That's better behavior than I'm sure her twin who works for the insurance company is doing.
Yeah.
I think that's better work. I mean, more important.
She works for a fucking insurance company? Yeah, that's probably a lot better. Although, shouts to State Farm for giving me a dividend because of all the success of these commercials, I guess. So while this is all happening, Chris Paul is also going through a fairly surreal environment where animals are destroying his home. Damian Lillard and DeAndre Jordan are like playing paintball. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point, they kill off Cliff Paul.
Yeah.
Because Chris Paul goes to Houston. Mm-hmm. And I think James Harden is jealous.
Well, no, I think it's they don't have green screens in the whole city of Houston or something.
Maybe that's it.
Or they were out of mustache glue. There was illegal
in Texas.
It's too
humid. It's too humid down there for mustache glue. So what happens instead is his new sidekick is Oscar Nunez from The Office.
Yeah.
And even then, animals are destroying his home. But this time it's like the mascot of the Houston Rockets.
Clutch
is destroying his house.
An actual buck destroys his house.
And this is I do not think there's a large deer population in the Gulf of Mexico. I might be wrong about that. Houston is pretty sprawling as a city. But again, he's still all that is happening with Chris Paul this whole time is psychological trauma. Mm-hmm. And eventually, they kill off Oscar Nunez as well because he's not allowed to travel to Oklahoma City. And this year it has become extremely surreal. Chris Paul is finally feeling the effects of many, many years of his possessions
except
being destroyed.
Except in the ones we're talking about. They dropped that plot line, too, when they bring Sabrina Ionescu in.
Well, let me lead up to it. So now Chris Paul's actually remembering he's broken the fourth wall, but also it feels like he's been broken as an individual.
Well, there are also some where he can actually hear the theme song.
And he's like aware that it's a commercial and he's worried about his family. And now his sidekick is a race changed Jake from State Farm, who's now a very handsome black man rather than a pudgy white man. So now they had a bunch of ads where Chris
Paul
is...
Which, by the way, I want to say I like this Jake from State Farm better than the old one.
Yeah. But the other guy was in like one commercial, right? Yeah.
It's just weird they decided
Like, why did his name have to be Jake?
Why? Exactly.
Like, why because wouldn't you?
If you remember right, our friend Dan Gill, was also just a State Farm agent in the one where Kevin Love is a child.
That's horrific, but yes, he is their State Farm agent.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I just don't know why you would have to make him Jake from State Farm. Give him his own identity.
Well, I don't know if you've watched television that's not the playoffs this year, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
But there are Jake from State Farm ads without Chris Paul. And as an NBA fan, it is jarring.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where's Chris Paul?
Well, look, it's one thing if it's Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes. They're adjacent to the CP3 verse. Mm-hmm. But no, it's weird when it's a stranger or like a pizza delivery guy.
Or and at the same time, butcher. There's one with a butcher too.
He literally could have had any name and you wouldn't have to worry about like, are we supposed to believe this is a different guy named Jake who works for State Farm? Or are you supposed to, they've gone too far, obviously, but there was just no reason to name him Jake. Okay, so anyway.
And yeah, I want to be very clear. I think he's actually a good commercial actor. Like,
No disrespect. Yeah. He's not the problem. He didn't pick that name. He's doing great.
It's just confusing.
It's just, what they could have literally chosen any name besides Jake, and it would have been great. But Jake was like, it just confuses people. Mm-hmm.
Gotta say, I don't think that initial Jake from State Farm ad is so good that you have to, like, it's a pretty good joke for a commercial where it's like, oh, your wife thinks you're fucking the State Farm guy or whatever, but like,
and he's like, oh, I'm in a polo shirt, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's a pretty funny commercial, but I don't know if that's like one of the tent poles of the franchise you're putting up, you know? It's like, Paul, and we have this character named Jake.
It almost feels like it's State Farm is doing a Disney approach where they're like, we just gotta monetize all the IP we have. And the IP we have is Jake.
Do you think, here's a question though, do you think their idea is that like Jake is like James Bond? They're just going to recast him forever into eternity.
I mean, I hope this guy gets a good run. He seems good, but but I think that might be a message where they're like, okay, I think the message
Vulture,
might be
10 years from now, are they going to be writing like, is it time for a female Jake from State Farm?
I'm going to pitch that article tomorrow. Yes. But also, I think they're sending a message like, "Don't get too comfortable." We didn't even need to keep his
recast
Daryl
Hammond, who spent all that time learning the Colonel Sanders impression, and then was immediately replaced.
And Norm Macdonald was like, "Hey, what's this guy talk like? Oh yeah, chicken. Hey, just kind of talks like me." Yeah, buy some fucking chicken. And they're like, cut and print. But also, State Farm, much like the Green Bay Packers, brought in a younger quarterback to push Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And it's possible that Aaron Rodgers also has a blood feud with whoever the general manager of State Farm commercials is for trying to make Mahomes come in and steal his spot.
Anyway, we need to answer the question about the basketball.
Okay. So now it has gotten very surreal, and there was no hint at any point that magic transmogrification was part of the State Farm universe. And yet, they've decided that Chris Paul can be turned into a fucking basketball.
Except he does. He isn't turned into a basketball.
But you're right. Because he just disappears in the existing basketball.
Yeah,
heavens.
Like, where does he go?
Well, the script says he turns into a basketball, but clearly he has a basketball. Our anonymous caller is absolutely factually correct in all that he talked about. But also, like, what world are we living in now? Because it was one thing when there was abusive animals. I still think that the Phoenix Suns are not going to win the NBA Finals until they tell us what the fuck is going on with Cliff Paul, who returned yeah. from the dead
uh-huh.
for a 3-second cameo in a commercial. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul's fake children were
they
so
excited. They bring him back like he's Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm. And then nothing happens. We don't get any closure about this. Again, this incredibly traumatic thing happened when someone separated identical twins. How did they even get switched? What family was there? Like, his mom had twins. And yet she comes home with one baby? And some other insurance-loving family brings home
stole a baby.
Stole a baby.
Because the only way that works is they don't have a baby.
Right.
Unless there's a third baby loose somewhere in the world.
And that baby's like rapping Dame Lillard. Like in the, and then Chris Paul adopts him for the Hooper. It's very confusing. But anyway, there should be two basketballs, is yeah. what I'm saying. And one of them is a horrified humanoid sentient basketball.
Yeah, that basketball needs to look fucked up. If that's what you're gonna do, it's gotta look fucked up. You know what? We didn't even bring up last year's set of State Farm commercials where Chris Paul was being stalked and possibly murdered by Alfonso Ribeiro.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. Who's like trying to get his son? Like, that's the weird thing. If he was just a Chris Paul imposter who was coming to the house, like, that's a little more.
There are definitely ones where he's pretending to be the kid's dad.
Uh-huh. And that's like, that's very troubling.
But I'm going to say the basketball, Sean, is not even the weirdest thing about this commercial.
Okay.
Because our friend John L. in the Roundball Rock Reader Patreon pointed out, he took a bunch of screenshots from the ad. And in it, Sabrina Ionescu, I'll just read it. Two screenshots. Chris Paul is listed as 6 feet tall, but is widely known he's a little shorter than that. She's listed as 5'11", but looks at least 2 inches shorter than him in this ad. My question, is she also lying about her height, or is Chris Paul on an Apple box?
Ooh. So Chris Paul, I'll tell you this.
Famously listed at 6 feet tall, but everyone says he's more like 5'10".
Well, his draft measurement without sneakers was 5'11¾".
Great.
And apparently in sneakers, he's 6'1". So I'm actually not sure if he was listed taller before
he's listed taller.
He's listed 6 feet. So his real height is like
5'11".
So Sabrina... Let's see.
What I will say is they do have her standing significantly behind him. It's just angled in a way where you can't tell. And it's to make him look taller than her.
Uh-huh. By the way, Sabrina Ionescu and I are from the exact same place.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's why you are both two of the greatest basketball players alive.
It's true. It's true. She's also significantly younger than me. Significantly, Joey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
What you're saying, actually.
I think her real height is maybe 5'10".
She's so what we've learned is they're both lying about their height.
Yeah. So that actually should be a slightly below normal size.
Here's
basketball.
What I wonder though. Do you think they used the magic of State Farm's universe to make him 1 inch taller? So she looked 2 inches shorter than him in this ad.
Yes, I think that's true. He's like, I will not be turned into a basketball or a cardboard cutout that falls down.
Uh-huh.
Would the alternate take?
Happens, yeah.
That is a weird, like, director's cut
the weird thing
DVD
about,
extra of
the,
a commercial.
The weird thing about these CP3 Sabrina ones is how cheap they are. They are so cheap.
Uh-huh.
It's honestly like, I mean, they were clearly filmed during COVID, but after you could have people star on camera and maskless together.
Uh-huh.
And that's why the effects are so bad.
But I mean,
that's why they're like doing camera tricks I would have done in like a ninth grade with a video camera.
I was going to say specifically I did that in a seventh grade project. Yeah. And I'm older than you.
Yeah.
So it's even more primitive where you just turn the camera off and then turn it back on and people are standing in the same place. Or there's a basketball. One fewer basketball than there should be in the shot.
Just bounce two basketballs.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. All right, we have talked about this for way longer than I thought we would. I will say...
I still feel like we haven't gotten to the bottom of it yet.
And we haven't. We're going to have our friends from the Ad Wizards pod on eventually to talk about the every single one of these ads.
Mm-hmm. We are going to make these non-basketball fans
dive so deep. It's going to be a three-hour episode where we talk about every episode.
Yeah.
Sean, we also got some reader mail from our friend El Half Narrow. Normally, I guess I should play the drop here.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, Sean, we got a question from our friend El Half Narrow. You're hiking and a bear crosses your path. Which NBA player do you want next to you, helping you scare it away?
Oh, man. This is pretty interesting for me because I'm about to go backpacking in Glacier National Park, which is full of bears.
You're scared about
it? I guess you're supposed to have bear spray.
Are you bringing a bear banger?
We're wearing, I don't actually, is that just a noise-making thing?
Look, I watch a lot of Alone on the History Channel.
Oh, yeah,
always give them a bear banger. And it's like a loud firework that they shoot into the air to scare the bear.
I gotta say, that show and 90 Day Fiancé, I got onto real late. Mm-hmm. They're very, very good.
Alone is one of the best shows on in the world.
One of the best. The first season, there's a really arrogant cop who lasts one single night because he gets so scared. And I'm just like, God, they're all like this. They're all like this. So I guess we're bringing bear spray. I will not be handling that. You have to, I'm fine. We have bear containers, which also stymied me for about 20 minutes on the last backpacking trip. But yeah, I guess the two things you're supposed to do is make a lot of noise and make yourself look really big.
Uh-huh.
So we're looking at somebody who can either scare a bear or at the worst scenario. I mean, no one can fight a bear. Like a gorilla can't fight a bear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say not Kevin Garnett.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Garnett is...
That bear's like, not a European enough.
Yeah, if it was a European bear, but that's not what you're going to encounter. Because otherwise, he is running, and he is still in great shape, and he is going to leave you behind. Because you need to be either very scary to a bear or faster than everyone else in your group. Mm-hmm. So in terms of intimidation, I think historically your best choice is Nikola Pekovic.
That's pretty good.
Because I think he's maybe killed a bear himself already.
Yeah.
But I also don't know. I don't know if his kind of like cold assassin like intensity works on a bear the same way it would intimidate a human.
Mm hmm.
It's not Joel Embiid.
No.
But also, I kind of think relative to a bear, I don't know if there's that much difference between a center and a guard in this scenario. You know what I mean? Because if a bear's 10 feet tall,
does he
really care if you're 6'10 or 6'6?
I think if Boban's there, yes.
Well, Boban is the size of a bear.
Yeah.
Boban's pretty good.
Yeah, Boban is not my answer, but that was where my brain first went.
Yeah, that was actually also my first thought. Mm-hmm. She wants someone that can look big and be intimidating. Give me your answer, and I'm going to think about it for a sec.
To me, okay, you said big and loud, right?
Yeah.
And there's only one person. Like, Boban is big but not loud, right?
Uh-huh.
There's only one person that's both big and loud, and...
Oh!
You can't touch this!
That's right, Dwight Howard, baby!
You can't touch this! My.
Can't touch this.
The off season gets so low, makes me bored all day long. But thankfully, I've got a music team to help me ride and keep the beat. I'm still a kid, even though I'm grown, a Superman homeboy in Orlando. And I'm known as such, and this is my team. You can't touch this.
Yeah, the answer for me is clearly Dwight Howard. First off, he's stupid enough to try and fight it while I run away.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Also, his farts might send it away.
Uh-huh.
Also, he's really loud and really big.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So I think I have two answers. Your answer is very good. I think Yusuf Nurkic would be pretty good in this situation.
Sure.
Also because he would somehow have a t-shirt listing a bunch of hunters who had killed bears recently, and that would mess with him psychologically. The only problem is that you can't count on him to be healthy for this trip.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a nagging injury along the trail at some point. I don't know if you can count
on
him.
Yeah, that's the downside with Dwight Howard, is I actually have to go on a hike with him.
Uh-huh, yeah. And Nurkic, I think, would be pretty fun. He'd have some really good vegan snacks. But yeah, injury prone. The other guy, I think, Draymond Green.
Pretty good.
Very loud.
Not that big though. Bigger.
Not that big, but I mean, I just think with a bear, your relative size difference does not make that much difference. I think just the intensity, he'd talk shit to the bear.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not, he's probably not going to be very good if the bear is 22 feet away from him. But in close, he can be pretty effective.
I mean, I still think this is the correct answer.
If there's coach who has said when he's done coaching,
I'll always be dead.
He'll wave his hands in the air, yell a few things, but his fingers through his
head. This is how you become a winner. Play defense just once, and I'll buy you dinner.
Ooh, and slide
just
over.
One time, Dwight, try and jump.
What impression was that just now?
I don't know. He's done Arnold. He's done Charles Barkley.
Oh, when you see me, you say that goes to White. He's dope with the
key. Where are the impressions?
Get down.
There it is.
Hold on.
What a nightmare.
Can I ask you a question about this album, which is for children?
Yeah.
What children are going to know Arnold Schwarzenegger? like, what's your access? They're like, oh, these kids are going to love me. I do feel like kids would kind of be more familiar with Barkley. But like in 2009...
I think they're still familiar with Arnold, dude. But people are like... That shit... Like the Terminator just like... It just like exists in pop culture forever. You know
just
what I mean?
It just seems like a weird thing for like an 8-year-old in 2010.
But why
is Dwight doing impressions?
That's the bigger question. But like, why when we were eight did we know who like Marilyn Monroe was? You know what I mean? It's
yeah,
like
I guess,
the same
I guess.
Shit.
You know, you're right.
All right, Sean. We're gonna do the news, but first, Sean, we have a sponsor.
Oh, we do.
Do you like bacon? Of course you like bacon. The Bacon Bash at Red Robin is on. A new bacon jam and burger, bacon jam and wings, even bacon on a shake. Ready to bring on the bacon? Come to Red Robin for the limited time Bacon Bash. Try the bacon jam and burger, bacon jam and wings, and even candied bacon on a shake. Ooh. Like you need another reason to love bacon. The Bacon Bash at Red Robin is like the league championship and all-star game all in one, but for bacon. Mmm, bacon. Try the bacon jam and burger, bacon jam and wings, and even candied bacon topping on the caramel and cookie crumb shake. Ready to meet the all-star lineup for the Bacon Bash at Red Robin? The spotlight is definitely on the bacon jam and burger with savory sweet bacon jam and hardwood smoked bacon. But don't sleep on the bacon jam and wings tossed in bacon jam and barbecue sauce and topped with bacon crumbles. And everyone is raving about the sweet action of the caramel and cookie crumb shake topped with candied bacon. Who doesn't love bacon? Check out Bacon Bash at Red Robin. They put together a full-on bacon offensive. Wow, with the bacon jam and burger, bacon jam and wings, and even a caramel and cookie crumb shake topped with, you guessed it, bacon. Learn more, place an order, or find a Red Robin near you at redrobin.com.
Wow.
Sean, I transcribed that entire thing.
What?
Which, doesn't it feel like that's like, okay, so the reason we read that is, I've been obsessed with it for like a month now. For some reason, ESPN signed this deal with Red Robin where they made Brian Windhorst and Zach Lowe read this ad over and over and over again for like a month. And to me, it reads like, Red Robin gave them this copy, but you weren't supposed to read it all together. You know, it was like,
because right.
of how many times they say bacon jam and burger, bacon jam and wings. And I feel like someone at ESPN was too busy listening to Rachel Nichols' phone calls to actually, like, cut the ad copy up.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's probably
upsetting
true.
Upsetting how many times they make them say bacon jammin'.
Well, bacon jammin', and then it's like if you hadn't forced the heart attack yet. Get those cookie crumble shakes in there.
But it's also just like, it's the most repetitive thing I've ever heard.
Well, and it also makes me think, like, at a certain point, I'm like, bacon jammin, you know, just like. Yeah.
It just, man. To me, feels like they're repeating the words bacon jammin burger so much, it's like they want it to appear in a mirror and haunt them.
It's so now, Joey, here's
look, we're gonna have a Patreon episode specifically about this, but
would you, if you wanted to talk to people about the bacon jam and burger, a great option for that would be Facebook groups.
Yeah, and we'll get to that one later.
Oh man, Joey, I'm also just kind of happy Red Robin's still in business. I don't necessarily care for it, but once on one of the last days of school, we took our senior English teacher, a real like hard man of a, it was tough but fair a lot. Anyway, we took him to Red Robin. We told him stories about some of the terrible pranks that children in our class had done, and he was mostly pretty horrified about that. And also talked to him about how much fun it was to pretend it was someone's birthday and make a restaurant staff sing to them. And then at the end of the meal, they came and sang to our teacher, and he was really embarrassed and incredibly uncomfortable. And that was kind of why my graduating class didn't even have a faculty speaker.
All right, we got to talk about the news.
All right, let's do it.
Sean, I gotta say, this might be a record. We went 42 minutes before even getting to the news. All right.
The finals are even happening. Okay.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, you said it. The finals are happening. So I assume our top story is going to be about the finals, right?
It's about a very important basketball story done by the Gray Lady herself, America's top journalism and newsletter outlet, the New York Times.
Mark Stein? Oh, sorry.
No, he's it's not that. It's not Soap on Deb. It is a story about Jeannie Buss, stand-up comedian.
Oh, great. So Jeannie Buss, the Lakers owner.
Mm-hmm.
We've been covering this story pretty...
We're actually pretty on top
of
that.
We're like on top of this.
I'm going to say we maybe broke the story about her relationship with...
Jay Moore, yeah.
The famous SNL plagiarist Jay Moore, star of Moore's Divorced. Sorry, it's called Gary Unmarried. It's called Gary Unmarried. And action! So I'm going to read you a little excerpt.
Please
right
do.
Now. She had prepared for this moment for months. Months and a week, actually. She missed her first stand-up showcase at North Hollywood's Ha Ha Cafe in September 2018 because her day job got in the way. When you're the owner of the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James is making his preseason debut, a comedy coming out party can wait. Now, Joey, you live in Los Angeles.
I do.
Los Angeles for many years.
Mm-hmm.
How familiar are you, again, as someone who, like, a large part of your peer group is stand-up comedians?
Yes, yeah, correct. I used to do stand-up comedy.
Yeah. How familiar are you with the Ha Ha Cafe?
It's like Hollywood? A name people drop as, like, a joke.
Right, it's like saying the Chuckle Hut.
Yeah.
Okay, so I looked it up. I was also not very familiar with it. Mm-hmm. Even as someone who spent a decent amount of time in North Hollywood
doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah, it's right next to North Hollywood Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
I checked hahacafe.com.
Well, Brendan Schaub is headlining this week, Sean.
Pretty good.
MMA man, Brendan Schaub.
He says what he thinks, dude. Yeah, he really says what everybody's thinking, but he's the one
with CTE.
He's got the fucking balls. Right. anyway, I checked hahacafe.com. That actually redirected to hahacomedyclub.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an expired site, but it used to be run on Squarespace.
Great.
And I looked at the
they
Yelp
should try
reviews.
Facebook groups.
Yeah, they really should. And most of the Yelp reviews were about how easy it was to park.
Yeah.
Although a fair number of them were about how difficult it was to park.
Well, that's LA for you, you know?
Now, I'm a little disappointed in the New York Times for the usual reasons. Not enough of Jeannie Buss's set.
Right.
In this
There's
article.
There's only one joke in this whole article.
And do you want to read it or should I read it?
Yeah, sure, I'll read it. Someone called me Barbie, Buss, who has blonde hair, said to open her set. In L.A., I'm actually Barbie's mom.
Oh, killer. How old is Jeannie Buss?
She's in her 60s.
Yeah, she's actually about to turn 60 this year.
Okay.
So, yeah. A 6-year-old woman, that's actually probably Barbie's grandma.
Well, I was going to say, that's like Barbie's mom or grandma everywhere, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
But you know what? Look, I kind of don't want to tear into Jeannie Buss's stand-up
No,
set.
Actually.
You want to know why? Uh-huh. Because stand-up is hard, and also, she just sold a television show, and I would like to write on it.
Also, I would say that this article, I expected to read it and just be ready to dunk on Jeannie Buss. And instead, it made me like Jeannie Buss more.
I kind of always liked Jeannie Buss.
Yeah, I mean, I liked her to begin with, but now
I'm
like...
As far as inherited millionaires go, she's not a billionaire, right?
Yeah, no, they just own the Lakers.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if they sold the Lakers, but you know what I mean? Like they own, and it's interesting because so much of the NBA is just these bloodless venture capitalists, mm-hmm. or like, you know,
and weirdly actively, the Lakers are a family business.
Yeah. Everyone else is like these bone collectors, like weird.
Yeah,
Jeannie Buss
would never smuggle a penguin skull out of Antarctica.
Yeah, yeah. She might make a donation for a penguin habitat at the LA Zoo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I also think that I think it is very endearing that she loved stand-up comedy for like decades. Mm-hmm. And then Theo Vaughn, from The Challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that his? And Heather McDonald from Chelsea Lately.
Uh-huh.
Convinced her to take a stand-up class at a barbecue.
At a July 4th barbecue, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then she took the course after her dad died and gave up.
Because too sad to do stand-up.
Yeah, and then...
What she didn't realize is that's the perfect time to do stand-up.
Oh, when you're too sad.
When you're happy, like... Here's the problem with Jeannie Buss's trajectory. She started doing it after they got LeBron James. The perfect time to be she would have written her best stuff when she had to watch fucking Jordan Clarkson and D'Angelo Russell get done every night.
Do you think she was hesitant to have because D'Angelo Russell might film her set and leak it on the internet?
All her material.
Yeah, that's a regular. Don't film comedians, guys. But yeah, she's sold a show about the back offices of an NBA team.
Which, bad news for Joey, because he and his friend Josh Androsky had been working on a pilot about that. It's a really good pilot. Jeannie Buss or Mindy Kaling or Elaine Coe, if you're listening, I will send you your pilot, please. My pilot, please staff me.
Joey, would you send it to the fourth producer of that show?
Yes. Who's the fourth producer?
It's Linda Rambis.
Yeah, absolutely. Look,
but you wouldn't send it to Kurt.
No, because I'm friends with Lakers
We're
Paladin.
We're loyal to the Lakers Paladin. And
but Lakers Paladin loves Linda Rambis.
That is true, actually.
Linda Rambis is his guy. Is her his? That's who Lakers Paladin thinks Linda Rambis is the genius in that front office.
Yeah.
And he's probably right.
Well, and also, I think that sometimes, you know, like, almost all NBA owners are bastards. I don't really think Jeannie Buss is.
No. In fact, she was clearly really fucked up when she had to take the team away from her brother.
Well, that sucked. Her dad dying sucked. Kobe dying sucked. Like, whatever you think of Kobe, I kind of think his personal friend Jeannie Buss had a pretty rough time with it.
Yeah. Now, to be fair... she did date Phil Jackson for like 30 years or whatever. And he's not great.
I also think he broke up with her because he wanted to be rehired as the Lakers coach and they hired Mike D'Antoni instead. Yeah. But that sucks. But I will say this again. Jeannie Buss, I'm headlining the San Francisco Punchline on September 29th.
Guest set. Come do a guest set.
5 to 7 minutes.
And I will hand you my pilot. I'll read it to you. You won't even have to.
Jeannie, you know, whatever you want on your rider. The club right now offers delicious flatbread pizzas, three different kinds of popcorn, Caesar salad. You can add chicken. They got quesadillas, and they're selling really, really large beers right now because for some reason Live Nation decided to stock their comedy clubs exclusively the same way they stock arenas. Great. So where it's hard to get a drink, so their default size is a 24-ounce beer. So Jeannie, I'll even give you a ride back to the hotel. I don't mean that in a I'm not coming on.
Yeah.
I'm being an ally. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, 5 to 7 minutes. You know what? We could negotiate for 8. September.
Light at 3.
Yeah, but she can light whatever she wants.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think she should probably get a light with 2 minutes left. But you know,
see, I always liked it at 3 because my brain would always try and do 2 jokes.
Oh, well, that's
2
good.
Minutes.
Yeah. I get it. For a while, I was getting
I probably should have been getting a 5-minute light, even at a 5-minute set, because I always tried to put too many jokes in my...
Look, that's what comedy is about. Getting as many of your jokes into your limited amount of time. A lesson I still have not learned about stand-up comedy.
Sean, is there a quote from the Love Master in this article?
Oh, Craig Shoemaker. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Comedians come from pain, and right away you're saying, what kind of pain can she have? Money, looks, fame. She owns one of the most storied franchises in history. In seconds, you can break that barrier by telling your truth. It always comes out if you're a phony, and she's not. I will say this. Doesn't always come out if you're a phony.
No. In fact, it often does not.
Including maybe like Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or Steve Renzizzi from FX's The League.
Well, I mean, it did come out that he did not die in 9/11 like yeah. he was telling people. But
you know what? Yeah.
I'm just glad also, Jeannie Bus is friends
Steve
with...
Steve Renzizzi.
Okay.
Five to 6 minutes. I'm not offering you 8 because you did fib about it, but also, you know, I've been in that situation before. It's hard to back down. September 29th at the SF Punchline.
I'm happy to know Jeannie Buss is still friends with Craig Shoemaker, because I'm sure they met because he was Magic Johnson's sidekick on the Magic Hour, right?
Yes,
John?
Yes,
that's
yes.
absolutely how they met.
He also got fired, and Howard Stern made fun of Magic Johnson when he went on the show and was like, where's the white guy? Mm-hmm. Where'd the white guy go?
Yeah. Well, you know what? The Love Master's cool. I like Craig Shoemaker.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Yeah, whatever. Look, you're friends with it. It's not his fault the show was like that. He did get fired because he said the show is a nightmare, and I respect his truth.
Yeah.
People would have known if he was a phony, and he's not. Craig Shoemaker, you're too big for September 29th of the Punchline. I'm looking forward to checking out your specials.
All right. Sean, I just have Zach Collins written here. What happened to Zach Collins? Did he make another lewd gesture?
He did not. The Blazers announced that they have no tolerance for lewd behavior among team employees. They will not be offering him a $7 million qualifying offer for next season.
All because he made a really, really lewd, sexist gesture. They must have really investigated this hard, right?
You know, I heard they actually had a team of investigators, and they actually fired the ones who were posting MAGA propaganda the internet.
Cuckold porn.
Yeah, this was just a very diverse group of investigators. They examined the video of that gesture for weeks.
Yeah, the reason they announced it today is because it was such a thorough investigation.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they got really deep into it. Yeah, that's the Blazer way.
Yeah, you know what?
You cross every T.
Yeah, you. It's you know what? That gesture is not proprietary, Sean. It belongs nowhere near the Blazers.
Yeah, it's in the public domain.
Yeah.
But also, it's his third ankle surgery in 9 months.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Get better, Zach Collins, and maybe think about the gestures you make on television. All right, buddy.
Is it crazy that 3 years ago, right, in the playoffs, it looked like the Blazers' front court of the future was gonna be Myers Leonard and Zach Collins, and they both lost their jobs for being lewd.
Yeah, they both been canceled.
Granted, Zach Collins has only been canceled by us. We're the only people who talk about it.
Well, and
still,
Yusuf
it's the grossest
Nurkic
hand gesture I've ever seen in my entire life.
I will say Yusuf Nurkic got canceled by Serbia.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But actually, it seems like Jokic does not have any kind of grudge against him.
No.
And,
yeah,
like, actually likes
friends.
Him.
Yeah,
yeah, I think they're buddies.
Yeah, he's not a horse racing judge, so.
Uh-huh. But you know what? I think this is the move that's going to turn it around for Neil O'Shea in Portland, clearing up that extra $3 million in cap space.
I mean,
they're going to end up re-signing him for a lower.
Of course, I was thinking about this.
There's no way Neil O'Shea is going to let him go.
The Warriors did this to Kevon Looney too. They didn't pick up his qualifying offer either. Yeah. Anyway, Sean, it's time to talk about some actual basketball. Do you hear that?
Got it time.
Yes, that's coach. Who has said when he's done coaching?
I'll only be dead.
He'll wave his hands in the air, yell a few things, put his fingers to his
this
head.
This is how you become a winner. Play defense just once, and I'm out of dinner.
Ooh, and slide.
I'll be back.
Oh wait, there it is.
Can't touch this. Why are you standing there, man? Can't touch this. No, sound the bell. School's in, sucker. Can't touch this.
Guess who it is? The governor. I'm a fan of the wife, but he's scared, so he calls me sir. But he's groovy, and I want to ask him to be in a movie. We'll make a dream team. And like back in the day, I'll even yell, get down.
All right, sorry about that. What I meant to play is this.
Turn up. Player.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going down. I'm yelling timber. Oh, like a lion named Simba. You will remember. I am people.
All right, Sean. That's right. We've had two games of the NBA Finals since our last episode. And the Bucks won them both. We really kind of wrote the Bucks off last time.
Well, I thought they would win the next two games, actually.
Did we? I don't remember what we said. I thought they were going to win one.
I think. You said it was going to be 3-1. I thought they would get both the home games. I think I did say Suns in 6, though. And I think you said Suns in 5.
Well, I think the Bucks are probably going to win this finals now. It's feeling that way for me. But that's mainly because Chris Paul reminded us that he's fucking Chris Paul.
Oh my god! I gotta say, I mean, the rundown just says, "Boy, did Chris Paul do some Chris Paul shit." And what does that mean to you, Joey?
It means fall down and turn the ball over in the last 2 minutes of a close playoff game.
Yeah, he was like missing shots, and some players are like, I'm missing shots. I got to contribute in other ways. And the way Chris Paul did it was a really weird amount of foul seeking. There was a crazy. Okay, so
what was working for Jay Crowder? Jay Crowder got so many bullshit calls in this game just by falling down, and Chris Paul was like, "Ah, yes, I know how to do this too," and just started fucking up.
So the biggest play, maybe like I would say, this is probably the second biggest play of the game when. I think the Suns were only down 2 points at this point. Yeah. And he was trying to split a double team where he was being guarded by, I think, Jrue Holiday. And then Giannis, like, went over and showed. And Chris Paul just fell down.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of acted like he got fouled. And then even Chris Paul was like, no, man, then no one is going to buy this. I just fell. But earlier, Jrue Holiday was like guarding him full court periodically, but kind of like just running with him and just kind of tiring him out. And there was one moment when Jay Crowder inbounded it to him and then was kind of going to just set a screen for Paul to free him up to just dribble up on the court. And Chris Paul... it was like shades of that old game against the Thunder when he was like 90 feet from the basket and decided to pretend like he got a shooting foul.
Yeah.
And so he like kind of ran into Jrue Holiday and did that same like flailing thing that will never get a like no one's ever going to call a shooting foul behind half court. And luckily Jay Crowder was just there to grab the floating ball. But it would have been incredibly embarrassing. Like if Jay Crowder was one step further, that would have been a like weird flop that led to Jrue Holiday dunking on him.
I mean, this whole I hate to be an officiating guy. But the officiating in game 4 was insane.
Well, one particular play was insane, I would say.
At one point, Jay Crowder got like four straight fouls by just falling down.
Yeah, falling down in like...
well, no one touched him.
I would say it was a clownish manner, too. Yes. Like he fell down...
I literally texted Dave Dufour, this is embarrassing for the league.
Well, Jay Crowder was falling down the way that I, like, fall down in front of my nephew. Mm-hmm. Like literally going, whoa, and like waving my arms and legs and then like clearly gently rolling onto my shoulder, but just being like, oh, I lost my balance. And then Jay Crowder was getting whistles for that. And if you see those plays in isolation, they look crazy.
they're really insane. Like, look, basketball fans are not allowed to make fun of soccer ever again.
Yeah.
After Jay Crowder's performance in game four of the NBA.
I like started to rethink my feelings about NBA basketball when I started seeing clips of like Lillard and...
oh, in the FIBA game?
Yeah, just like missing layups and then...
Beal was doing it a lot.
Beal did it. And in fact, Devin Booker
KD was doing it a lot in the FIBA game, too.
Yeah. And Devin Booker, I do not think this is a common thing that he did. But I think, like, as the announcers told us, this team has taken on the character of Chris Paul. Like, his spirit infuses them even when he's out with an injury. And there was a play at the end of the game where Devin Booker, like, drove to the basket. And it was a normal play. Like, he just... you know, he's being guarded by Giannis, and he missed the layup and just decided to hit the deck like someone shot him.
Yeah.
And the Bucks, I mean, I think that's part of the reason why the Bucks got so many fast break points is that sometimes when they would get a steal, a Phoenix Suns player would just like lay down on the
court. Right. They were like doing like, it was like if the Harlem Globetrotters we're also doing the Monty Python Ministry of Walks.
And it was just, I mean, look, Chris Paul is going to play better in Game 5, I think.
I mean, he'll play better either. He'll play like shit for three quarters again. And be really good in a fourth quarter. Or... he'll be really good for three quarters and then lose the game in the fourth quarter. There's no other way that it goes for him.
I mean, they'll be back home. They'll be better. But yeah, he looks very tired, I would say. And I think that part of that is, okay, can we get to
standing
Drew
on his
Holiday
tippy toes to look taller than Sabrina Ionescu?
Sabrina Ionescu. That made him really tired. It is very weird to watch Drew Holiday in this series, who is simultaneously delivering like an amazing defensive performance and then one of the worst offensive performances.
I don't even think he's been
seen
that good on defense. He was at the end of the game in game four, but man, like
his shot is really not falling.
At one point, I texted again to our friend Dave Dufour. Man,
Coach Doof.
In the first half, I was like, man, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday are fucking bozos.
I mean, I have to say that, do you want to talk about Middleton or Holiday? Let's talk about Holiday first.
Sure, sure.
So he was 4 of 20.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Hell yeah, dude.
Right? 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals. The Bucks just... the thing he's been good at, though, is... getting the ball to Giannis, getting the ball to people, and just not ever losing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
The shot selection has not been tremendous. Mm-hmm. He does not seem to be able to make a floater or a layup.
Mm-hmm.
But
he was so bad at shooting that with a minute and a half left to go in the game. The refs just let Devin Booker bear hug him for his sixth foul and didn't call a foul because they were like, you're not going to make it anyway.
That was not what happened. But
that's the joke I'm making.
Yeah. It was amazing, though, that you were like more confident with Giannis at any point. You're like, yeah, he can make that three. I mean, No one made any threes except Middleton and Bobby Portis made a three. I'm sorry. I apologize to
Robert Portis. Put back Robbie Patty. My friend Rob was hitting threes all over. My personal friend. Your friend Rob Portis.
Rob Portis. That's what his buddies call him. We're in a fight club together. I'm terrified of him. Every time I get drawn, I like pretend I have diarrhea and I leave the fight club. But
yeah, well, you don't want to fight crazy eyes.
I'm not fighting crazy eyes. Middleton, again, I don't know how to describe this Chris Middleton phenomenon, Joey, where, again, in this game where you were like, Middleton is a bozo,
he scored 40 points.
Yeah, he scored 40 points. He had a bunch of steals. What is it about Chris Middleton? And I'm with you on this. I probably would not have called him a bozo, but at the same time, there is something about him when you're seeing him play that does not inspire confidence. And then every other game, he goes on like a personal 12-0 run.
It's a weird thing where all of the shots he takes are shitty, and they either all go in or none go in. Like, I don't think I've ever seen Chris Middleton hit an open shot. Because the only shots he takes are being closed out by two people.
Well, and it was weird because in the fourth quarter, they started running an unstoppable Giannis Middleton
pick and roll.
Yeah. Except Middleton just wasn't that open on almost
any shot.
He hit a couple. He had a couple relatively open threes, but like, It's just so weird because he at times you're like, well, he could just make a shot from anywhere.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, he shouldn't shoot from anywhere. It's very weird that a guy that inspires so little confidence has had multiple 40-point games this playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's hard to do.
Well, Sean, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Who's the pop culture equivalent of Chris Middleton?
Yeah, because not only does he not look effective, and then is periodically
he's bad and then great and like bad again.
Pilloried for being bad.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm thinking of actors because I'm not I'm not confident in a musician that fits this rubric in the same way.
Actor is also correct.
Right, because I just think that like musicians.
I think the answer is Ben Affleck.
Oh my God, where you're it's like it's Geely, it's he's making like what's the
Jersey
Christmas Girl. reindeer games.
Yeah,
he's making the
but
sum
then it's
of
like,
all.
Like, oh, he directed Gone Baby Gone.
he won a Best Picture Oscar
yeah.
for a movie that no one respected him enough to make him a director.
Best director. Yeah, and I like that one because he also got famous as a sidekick.
Yeah. Like you're like, oh, you're just riding the Matt Damon train.
Yeah.
Like anyone could do that. And then occasionally you're like, yeah, I think this guy's a terrible actor. Then you watch Gone Girl and you're like, I think he might be a great actor.
Yeah.
he looks like he's the wrong size for a lot of parts, like just like Chris Middleton.
Yeah, like Chris Middleton also looks too heavy to be playing Batman right now.
Yeah, and you're like, why is he dragging a chain? Like, why is Chris Middleton's face like that? And also I would say that the Tom Clancy series discarded him just like the Detroit Pistons Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him. That's it. Chris
what
Middleton.
What we need to do is get Chris Middleton in the View Askew-iverse.
Right. Yeah, he can fit in there. What's Kevin Smith doing these days?
Jason Lee's podcasting, of course.
I guess he's podcasting all the time. He's always podcasting.
Also, I think I read he sold a movie as an NFT. Is that right?
I mean, that seems correct.
Look, there's only one thing Kevin Smith should be selling as an NFT, and it's the worst tweet of all time.
Oh, and he wrote it.
I'm not going to read it on the podcast, but
it's romantic.
Yeah, he's selling a horror movie called Kilroy Was Here as an NFT. Anyway,
I don't understand any of that, but also, You know what? Good for him. I got to say, I'm still a supporter. Am I interested in his new products? No, not at all. Did Mallrats and Clerks give me an unusual amount of joy? Also, yes.
Sean, can Kevin Smith get a guest set September 29th at the San Francisco
Punchline? You know, he can, but he's got to...
He's got to respect the clock.
I'm worried about him running the light. I'll say that. I'll say that for sure. But also, he's the one person that can absolutely wear shorts on stage. Mm-hmm. So that I'm normally...
because they're basically pants. Yeah, they're so long, their pants.
They're pretty long. Yeah. But yeah, he can do that. Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of wearing shorts and black socks and dress shoes.
Uh-huh.
Devin Booker showing up to game 3 in that outfit kind of looked like a Kevin Smith character.
He did kind of look like a Kevin Smith character.
I mean, what he really looked like was a character from Swingers, but I tweeted that already.
Oh, okay, but, yeah.
Yeah, I said, isn't this the guy who pulled the gun in the movie Swingers?
Oh, Sue.
Yeah, it's, yeah, but it's funnier to say the guy.
No,
you know,
no, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, what did he really did not play well in that game.
No. He was really good in game 4, even though he should have fouled out.
It was the weirdest performance because he didn't make any threes. And I think that,
but he was getting like a billion layups at first.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean it was great. It was just very weird that the Suns were just like, we will only play in the mid-range now.
I will say it's...
only Cam Johnson and Jay Crowder are allowed to shoot threes.
I will say it's a really weird thing where the two best players in this series basically aren't worth talking about. Where it's right. Like, yeah, Giannis and Devin Booker are just going to score... are going to have, like, historical games, but what it's really going to come down to is which disappointing Chris...
uh-huh.
Who's which disappointing Chris isn't gonna shit his pants.
Well, and it's also like, who's gonna win the battle between Cam Johnson and Pat Connaughton tonight?
But it's like people really kind of don't even talk about Devin Booker and Giannis at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they were talking about him a lot during the game. I mean, and the thing they were talking about was him obviously committing his 6th and 7th fouls and still staying in the game. So it'll be interesting. That was one of the more bizarre things I've seen. Joey, I also would like to formally apologize. I don't think I have apologized to Kim Johnson for this. Mm-hmm. I made a mean Blink-182 song about him being too old after he got drafted. He rules.
He's really good.
He's tight. But I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is two Cams... one Cam too many?
Yes.
I think so, too.
And I think if you have to pick one, I'm sorry, campaign, you're out.
Yeah, even though I like him, too. But here's the thing. What do you think of when you think of Cameron?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, I do, too.
Yeah.
And then I think of Duke's Arena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you've got the hardcore born-again Christian from Kirk. The Left Behind movies.
Yeah,
Growing Pains. It's not great. No. You know what I mean? There's not like a lot of great.
Well,
Cameron,
you know,
examples.
Who is a great Cameron, though? J. Cameron Mitchell. That's a great Cameron.
The director of Short Bus?
No, J. Cameron Mitchell. Isn't that Jerry from Succession? Ken Lonergan's wife?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, that's actually... J. Smith Cameron. Sorry. But yes, that's Ken Lonergan's wife, Jerry from Succession. She rocks.
That's Ken Lonergan's wife?
Yeah.
God, she rules.
Yeah.
All right, well, cool that's a point for Cameron. I gotta say...
John Cameron Mitchell, the director of Short Bus. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm gonna say that one's a...
Your mileage may vary.
Yes.
I'm gonna say on that one.
Yeah, yes.
I'll also say James Cameron... mm-hmm. Is a lot of Cameron. He is supporter of the
too much
one only. Yeah. Uh-huh. Cameron,
I mean,
Diaz,
can't doubt
she's retired.
Cameron
she's
Diaz
retired.
Is great, though.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Mitchell. What about Cameron Mitchell, Sean? That old, he's like an old dead guy, right?
Cameron Mitchell. I can't even. I'm gonna have to Google that one, and then I will give you a.
That's just like a name I know.
He's an American film actor who was in exploitation films in the 70s and 80s.
Sure, sure, sure.
He has been dead for quite some time.
Oh, he's yeah, in the Cameron
How to
Mitchell's
Marry
like,
a Millionaire.
Yeah, I know who Cameron Mitchell is. He's like a he's like in a lot of like shitty B movies. He's cool.
I like that he's in an unsold TV pilot and from 1959. You know what the title of this show is?
What?
I Am a Lawyer.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah. Sean, I know we have a lot more on the rundown, but I think this is our it's our episode. I think it's
yeah,
is there
we don't,
anything
we don't have
you
that
really
much
want
to
do
about.
Here? One last thing.
Let's trade I'm gonna give let's give will you read a quote about Klay Thompson from Andre Iguodala?
Sure.
And then I will read a quote from Klay Thompson, and then we'll close it out.
Okay. Andre Iguodala went on another podcast of a person I don't like, so I'm not going to give him a plug. But he said, the only thing about Klay Thompson, is he'll get bored. People are like, who's the better shooter, Steph or Klay? And I'm like, it depends on if Klay wants to play with his dog or not.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's... It seems that's
sounds
a
right.
weird way to phrase that, but also I get what he's saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right. And my quote is from Klay Thompson himself on the IG Live. Mm-hmm. How do I feel about the draft? Great. Two lotto picks. Don't come around too often. We call those assets in the business world, and business is booming.
Well, that's great. Sean, is there anything you'd like to plug besides September 29th at the headlining the Punchline in San Francisco?
Oh, well, I'm going to do some shows with Todd Barry in September, too, but I actually don't know where they are yet. But
we should figure out something for Todd to do on this stupid show we have.
Yeah, he'd do it.
He'd
do
I know
it.
He would. As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter, at Frankie Muniz. Where on July 4th, I tweeted, I want a hot dog. Sean, did you write a song?
You know, I did, but I was not able to record it.
Oh,
because,
right,
because
your computer's not working. What old song do you want me to play?
I don't want to play that Cam Johnson song because I feel bad about it right now.
Sure.
We
talked a lot about Jeannie Buss. You got any Jeannie Buss songs?
I don't have a Jeannie Buss
song.
You should
have a Jeannie Buss song. What are you
I know.
Doing,
I mean, she's a beautiful lady.
we talked about Chris Paul. You got any Chris Paul songs? It's a big Chris Paul.
I do have a bunch of Chris Paul songs. Let's see. I mean, it could be... You know what? Why don't you play... It's not directly about Chris Paul, but it kind of is. How about our song about the Houston Rockets... Our Violent Femmes song about the Houston Rockets, Stat It Up.
Sure. That's playing under us right now.
Hell yeah.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Don't think too hard about the Chris Paul State Farm universe. And let's go home.
May... After May, I will lose, and I will complain, but the May, after this May, I will flop, and I will audit.
Why can't
can't I get just one assist? Why can't I get just one assist? A triple double's what I can't resist. So I pestered Jalen Green and he missed. Why can't I get just one board? Why can't I get just one board? I'm crashing the glass like Harrison Ford. But Tyson Chandler tipped it to Eric Gordon. Why can't I get just one bucket? Why can't I get just one bucket? Harden dribbled for 20 seconds, fuck it. But I waited in the corner for just one. Game after game, I get the ball and throw it away. But the game's on Thursday night. I'm gonna cook like Walter White. Oh my, you should have checked the shot chart outside the key. I know you're trying for team chemistry, but Russ will put up bad shots with impunity. Whoa, Westbrook, take a look now, his D ain't textbook. He's dribbling around thinking about his next look. Doesn't know the plays, but he's got a sketchbook. Don't shoot, shoot, shoot that pull up three. Don't shoot, shoot, shoot that pull up three. It won't help your efficiency. Don't shoot, shoot, shoot that pull up three. Don't shoot, shoot, shoot that pull up three. Don't shoot, shoot, shoot that pull up three. Might as well toss it in the sea. But don't shoot, shoot, shoot that pull up three. Anderson open at the top of the key. Harden let it fly from 33. Share the ball, slip and fall. Writhe on the ground for a foul call. Stats to analyze, stats hypnotize. Stats make Daryl evangelize. Our tweets will make you roll your eyes. D'Antoni contract talks were full of lies. Oh my, next chapter of this story, the tab is open, we're at Bubba Gump's. Let's hope we don't need our stomachs pumped. Oh my, more losing than Nemo and Dory. Tillman's restless, he's ready to stab. He thinks a rainforest cafe's really wrapped. Not resting dudes on back-to-backs, forgetting to pay the luxury tax. After round two, when they stink it up, he says, call Nate Silversell, I'm gonna stat it up. Stat it up, 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 stat it up. You got to stat it up, stat it up, oh man, after man. Half that team forgets how to play, but next June we'll win the chip and pay in the bonuses. We'll make Tillman sick.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.